got that nerd rage. Nerd rage. I got that nerd rage. Nerd rage.
From comics and games to movies and TV, this is the Nerd Show on 1310 KFKA.
Nerd rage.
Nerd rage.
Now here are the nerds.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're tuned into the Nerd Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA, Northern Colorado's voice. I'm Nick Kenny here with Scott Magerflesh and Micah Kilpatrick, the three nerds and the three Darths.
Darth Monger. Darth Ambivalous.
Darth Harmonic.
I feel like I should talk like that for the rest of the episode.
Yeah, please don't.
I would drive myself nuts.
Yeah, me too.
And the listeners.
And Micah. Michael, just cut your mic.
I don't know if you'd do that.
Well, we might be cutting your mic in segment three when we're talking about Picard. Because I don't think you've seen any Picard.
I've not seen any Picard.
Any Star Trek ever?
Yes, I've seen Star Trek ever.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. There are some Star Wars fans who are anti-Star Trek and vice versa.
But
there are
some
Star Trek fans who are anti-Star Wars.
But we are not those fans because
no. I just have not had the opportunity to see or watch Picard.
You've not
you're
taken
watching
the opportunity.
You're watching the Great British Bake Off.
I'm not watching anything right now. I've been out of the country, and I'm trying to recalibrate. I got a lot to watch. Picard should be up at the top of the list. I have a blank sheet of space right now to watch shows.
Yeah. And of course, I'm not going to give you my password to CBS. I'm sorry, to Paramount Plus, which is what it is now. You're going to have to buy it yourself.
Well, that's the proper way to do it, Micah.
Yes, of course, because none of us have ever shared a password with anyone.
No, we don't do that.
No, because that's just immoral.
It's inappropriate.
Yes. All and right. I'm never going to ever get anyone's Apple TV Plus, whatever that is.
The moral police
here. It's immoral. It's wrong. And we three here are good people, kind of.
No. I mean, I agree with that. I agree that we're good people. No, just to look back on the cable days, you know, where we were just price gouging and price gouging. And for a brief year or two, maybe three, you know, you had only a few subscriptions. Because I cut cable in like 2011 or something like that. You had Netflix. That's all I had.
Yep.
And then Disney Plus came around. And now you have every dang station you used to have on cable charging $10 to $15 a month.
Unless you get commercials, then it's, I think, Paramount Plus, which I do have commercials. Sorry, guys. I've never shared my password, of course.
Why would you apologize to us, Micah?
I've never shared my password with anyone, of course.
I commercials drive me crazy these days. At least on TV. I'm so used to streaming. But I hope that people enjoy the commercials that take place during our show. You got to know what's available here in Northern Colorado.
Like Great Coast Pizza in downtown
Greeley.
Great
Coast Pizza, yeah.
See? 477 Distilling.
Yeah, that's right.
That's for knickknacks.
That's some good places there, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great local businesses who support radio station KFK.
Wonderful.
And we're looking for more.
Yes.
So if you know of anyone, no, it's a terrible ask. You have to be very specific.
Give us money.
I'm not bringing the networking
into
this. You know, I was a little bummed. I had a four-hour flight to Mexico last week, and my phone wasn't charged properly. I had a lot of weird things with my phone. It ended up getting water damage, so I couldn't charge it at all for almost an entire day, and I was kind of panicking a bit because everything's on my phone. So I didn't hike up to listen to music or listen to podcasts or my audiobook that I was listening to. It's like, all right, well, I guess I'll watch a movie on this four-hour flight. And I was hoping to catch something that I hadn't seen before and I could bring some nuggets of information to the Nerd Show. But of all these technological advances that we have, especially with aircraft, they haven't been able to upgrade that, one, to Bluetooth. Like, it'd be nice if we could sync up to Bluetooth for the screen that's right in front of you. But two, they're still using those, I don't even know what port.
The 3.5 millimeter audio.
Yeah. Does anyone even have any of those anymore?
Most headsets come with them, or at least an adapter that will work with them. Yes.
I've got the from the iPhone, you know, that lightning cable. So that didn't work at all.
Yeah, but there is a lightning cable adapter that will actually work with the 3.5 millimeter audio.
I should have been more prepared.
You should have been.
That's on me.
Yeah. It totally is.
But it should be provided. They should have those. I mean, how do you? I mean, cars have them now. Granted, aircraft is, what, 20, 30 years old, so they're coming along slowly.
They're working there.
They can have those nice TVs and screens in front of you that are very interactive. I did watch Dune from, you know, of no volume standpoint. Still a great movie.
You got to enjoy it visually is what I'm hearing you say.
I did.
And you know
it
what?
Was stunning on a tiny screen.
Oh. I regret not seeing it in the theater. I saw it, I think, the day after it premiered. I watched it on HBO Max, and I regret watching it on HBO Max because it's a beautiful movie with some booming music. I should have seen that in the theater.
I've got an okay surround sound in my basement now, so I get a little bit of boom, nothing like a theater. For me, when I was going to movies a little more frequently, some theaters are too loud to the point where I can't enjoy the film.
Yep.
What?
And I've used the earplugs I use as a musician that doesn't really dampen the sound like so many earplugs do. It just kind of like turning the volume down. But I don't like going to movies and being overwhelmed by sound. It's just poor balance. I'm not a person who wants to – well, I don't want to destroy my hearing. My career kind of requires it. Just couldn't enjoy it. But then at the Crest a few weeks ago, or December, I guess it was, seeing Spider-Man, it was too low. Hmm. I'm just impossible to please.
You are. You're a very difficult human being.
thank you, Scott. I appreciate that.
Yeah, speaking of the Crest, by the way.
Yes.
I still haven't seen the Batman. I still haven't seen it.
I haven't either.
So busy. Monger, have you seen it?
I have not.
All right, guys, we need to have a nerd date.
There may be things in the works here, so we will. I'll know more tomorrow. I need to coordinate some schedules, but we'll see if midday Saturday, Micah, you're available.
I'm hoping midday Saturday. I need to check the sports schedule. Well, I know KFK is broadcasting a lot of the NCAA tournament.
Okay. Well.
Or what is the NCAA like? I think they like it to be called the NCAA. And all
Instead of
us who call
A?
It the NCAA upset them.
I don't know.
Well,
but this is the Nerd Show, not necessarily, you know, sports. Although,
There are a lot of athletes out there who are nerds.
Yeah, there are. Hey,
there are a lot of nerds out there who are athletes. And
that's
I'm
right.
raising my hand
yes.
here.
Yeah.
Bodie Hume, who plays for the UNC Bears, plays chess as well. I don't know how good he is. Probably better than me.
I played a chess game a few weeks ago. Actually, in Mexico, they had life-size chess.
Really?
It was awesome. I mean, not life-size, but it was up to about 3 feet, three foot tall pieces.
A large chess set, not a life-size.
Yeah.
Well, now I want to go to Mexico.
Well, there you go. That's all it took for Micah to want to go.
Nick, do you know how to play chess?
Yes.
Okay. So I have a Lego chess set. Would you like to play immediately after the show? I know you probably want to go home and go to bed after Nick's snacks, but I want to play with my Lego chess set.
Well, I will need a rain check because I have an errand to run immediately after this so I can get to another event.
You have way too many events.
I've been told that.
He's got a few irons in the fire.
You know what you need to do is stop having friends and stop trying to please the community and just focus only on me.
And watch my
Lego chess board.
And watch Picard.
Yes.
And probably the 300 other to watch in my queue.
Well, and there's things coming up. I mean, you know, I was looking ahead and there's a new animated series that Amazon dropped a few weeks ago called Diabolical, which is kind of centered around The Boys, but it's an animated series and stuff like that. Watched a couple episodes. It's really, really graphic. It's really, really brutal, but it's kind of along that same lines. You know, The Boys trailer dropped, and so we get to see, you know, Billy Butcher, who is, you know, kind of the anti-enhanced superheroes guy, you know, from Vought, that we're starting to see that he's actually going to develop something. We don't know how that's going to come about. That was kind of cool. I've heard there's a new season of Westworld coming.
Oh, man.
And so
I'm excited about that.
So I rewatched season three.
Is that on Netflix?
No, it's on HBO Max.
Yeah, that is something that HBO Max is one that I use. Disney Plus, Hulu, and HBO Max are the ones that I use the most. And HBO Max just has so much good content on it. I'm on there all the time.
Yeah.
It's crazy how I'm actually I love Star Trek, but I'm not on Paramount Plus nearly as much as I am on HBO Max. I haven't been on Netflix in a few months.
Netflix has had some good movies that have come out lately, but they've not been very nerdy. Quite a few Westerns that I've watched on there. The Power of the Dog was one starring Benedict Cumberbatch. That was a pretty powerful one. Actually, Sam Elliott kind of went off on a very inappropriate tirade, I think a week or so ago, just how much he hated it. Unfortunate, because I really like Sam Elliott, but it seems that he's got a very narrow mind.
I think that there's some competition there because 1883 came out, which is kind of the prequel to Yellowstone, and Sam Elliott, I believe, is in that prequel series, so that's a little odd. The other one that came out that dropped, and it's only the first 7 episodes, so I'm hoping there's more to it, is the second season of Upload, which if anybody has watched that, it's sort of this futuristic mindset that you can actually upload your consciousness into a virtual reality environment, and then the living can still interact with the dead and some different things. And it's got some humor in it, but it's got some stories to it as well. And I really liked the first season. It took them a while to get the second season going. They dropped that, but I don't think it's full because episode 7 is the last one that's out, and it cannot be like the season finale. I'm waiting for more. So
I loved Altered Carbon. I didn't see the second season, but the first season was
Anthony Mackie did a great job in the second season. I would highly recommend the second season.
Those kind of shows kind of spook me a little bit.
It only went for 2 seasons, though.
I want that. I want to be around forever.
Yeah, I'm not sure you do. You watch Altered Carbon and you might not want to be.
I might have to.
No, you don't. You don't want to be around forever. I know I don't. I don't want to die, but when I do, I want to stay dead.
You're done.
Yeah.
All right, stay tuned for more of The Nerd Show. We're going to dissect the Obi-Wan trailer that was released about a week ago. So stay tuned. More of The Nerd Show here on 103.1 1310 KFKA. Welcome back to The Nerd Show here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA, sponsored by Right Coast Pizza in downtown Greeley. Pizza's slices as big as your face. You can fold in half.
Jersey style.
Good stuff.
I just ate a lot of food. I shouldn't be hungry, but that does sound pretty tasty.
Yeah.
Because I'm back, from vacation, so I'm working out in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got my routine. I get up, I do my yoga. I have a shake. For lunch, I have, some carrots, some hummus, some nuts, and some salmon. A little salmon on some crackers. Just get some protein, and then whatever comes up for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, we All had right. a countdown begins. We're about 2 months.
A little over 2 months away.
Out from another live-action Star Wars series, an original, the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. And we got our teaser trailer last week. And that was a lot more of a teaser trailer than I thought there'd be. For a teaser trailer, I just envision a lot of music and a lot of words coming up. But we actually got some decent content, which I think shouldn't surprise me because it's 2 months out. They should be close to, if not done, with all the post-production. I don't really know. I've never done post-production work, so I don't know if they work up to the day or what. I'm excited. I've read quite a bit. The news that just came out this week, though, is that Darth Maul has been written out of Obi-Wan. They didn't confirm whether or not, he was actually in it or even in some of the final cuts, but they did announce that Darth Maul has been written out of this Obi-Wan series. And I don't know in what capacity he would have had in this. We still know there's a beef. We don't know how young Luke and Leia are. It could be around the age that we come into Darth Maul during the Star Wars Rebels, when he's just completely obsessed with Obi-Wan.
I think we're early, and I think that's kind of why they're doing it, because I think we saw Maul in Solo, and we know that Solo happens only a few years before A New Hope. We don't quite have that timeline, but it can't be, it can't be 10, 12 years before A New Hope. So it's got to be closer than that. And we saw Maul in Solo. And so I think it makes sense because I think it's too early in some of the scenes we saw so far. You know, when you see Luke sitting on top of the hut, you know, kind of pretending like he's a pod racer, you know, that he's got to be like 8 or 9 years yeah. old. And so yeah. I think that we're too early in the timeline for that to make sense. And so I'm, you know, I could have seen it as some either some flashback scenes or some like, you know, Maul sitting in the back stewing because he's going after Obi-Wan at some point in time. But it makes sense to me that we're not going to get into that. I think it's something that could come out in later seasons if they choose to do it, and I hope they do.
I don't know how well Maul fits in the storyline. Well, with what we got in Solo, because in Star Wars Rebels, toward the end when Obi-Wan yeah. slashed him in half.
Again.
Yeah. He was, toward the end, obsessed
yeah.
with finding Obi-Wan. And it was very close. I mean, this is, you know, like you said, a couple years before A New Hope, a couple yeah. years before Rogue One. Leia's wed, when they're 19 years old, I think, at that point, maybe yep. 16 or 17 during the mm-hmm. events of Solo. What snapped? So Maul's running this crime lord, and all of a sudden he's just mentally obsessed yeah. about Obi-Wan. So maybe we can see something down the road in future seasons that just triggers
him. I think that would be the best thing, that something will happen where, you know, and maybe it's part of the, you know, you think about Obi-Wan's line about you will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy when he's talking about Mos Eisley's. Maybe there's something that happens in Mos Eisley's that with Crimson Dawn and with the crime syndicates and stuff like that, that makes that happen. And I think that would make sense in that regard.
Well, we have the opening line. I don't know, Micah, if you can pull it up for that trailer. If not, that's all right. Kind of curious who Obi-Wan might be talking to. To me, I interpret it as Bail Organa. You know, the war is over. The war is lost. But what if he's talking to Qui-Gon?
I think he is, because, I mean, that's what you get at the end of episode 3. He says, you know, Yoda's going to teach him how mm-hmm. to commune with him. And so, you know, the understanding is that he's been able to speak to Qui-Gon in that regard. And I think that would be a good reinforcement of that. Don't know for sure, but it would make sense.
We get our first teasers of Inquisitors in live yeah. action. We've seen them in Star Wars Rebels. We don't know how many are out there, but it was awesome to see them mm-hmm. in live action. And there's an epic stare down between Owen Lars and an Inquisitor. Yeah. I think this story is going to do a really good job of maybe painting Owen and Beru in a much different light than we got them in A New Hope. You know, very protective, very untrusting, very discouraging.
Well, I think that's what they were supposed to do.
Well,
I think their whole job, at least to them, was to be, we have to keep him away from the Empire. So we are going to say, oh, we need you for the harvest. Yeah, we need you for the harvest. Those dreams that you have are silly. Get those dreams out of your head. Get out of the clouds.
When does that work for anybody, though? That just empowers somebody to move away. So what happens between Owen and Beru and Obi-Wan? Because to me, maybe I'm thinking that they might be pretty connected. They might be conversing. If Owen's staring down an Inquisitor, he knows how evil they are. Maybe he doesn't.
Well, but the other thing is, are we sure it's an Inquisitor? I mean, they kind of tease that within the images that are showing, but it's like, is he staring down Ben? You know, is it one of those where they're trying to separate themselves from Ben because, you know, and again, it plays, you know, that,
no,
that
old man's a picture, though, where it's her, the African-American Inquisitor and
yeah, Reva.
Owen. Revan?
Reva.
Reva. Oh.
Or Reva. Yeah.
Reva.
Yeah.
And him.
Oh, I guess I forgot that they were both in the same scene. I thought it was like playing back and forth.
No, there was one that was just right there, them just staring at each other. But I could see that too of, you know, do they get their lives put at risk? And then that's where the fallout between Obi-Wan and Owen is. I'm just curious. To me, you just wonder that he goes and remains in exile on Tatooine, kind of like Yoda. And Yoda was just what we first see him as a bumbling doofus.
I always thought that when I became an adult, I always thought that his hatred for Obi-Wan was more to keep him further away from Obi-Wan. If he knew more about Obi-Wan, he would know more about the Force and more about himself, and he would be tempted to possibly train. I never thought that Ben hated Obi-Wan. I thought Ben just wanted to keep away from, keep a buffer.
Ben? Owen?
Yeah, sorry, Owen.
Oh, it's like Ben Kenobi. I wonder if we might be getting some, do you think we might get some stuff retconned from A New Hope?
I think it's possible. I mean, you would have to. I mean, especially, you know, in reading online, they've talked about and they've confirmed that there is going to be a showdown between Obi-Wan and Vader, which I have always had a hard time with that concept because, you know, what Obi-Wan says or what Vader says to him on the Death Star, he says, when I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master. So that indicates a huge gap. And so if they're going to retcon that in some way, shape or form, you know, I'd rather they do it in like a vision or something else like that. But I, you know, so I don't know. I'm still going to watch it. I'm going to enjoy it. But it's kind of one of those where, yeah, you could do it, but it doesn't make sense based on those comments. And how are you going to explain that? Because I think you're going to have fans like me who are going to go, wait, now you're messing up the original trilogy.
Don't mess with the original trilogy.
Don't mess with it.
The OG. The OT is the OG. Mm-hmm. I'm the opposite, though. I mean, I grew up with the original trilogy, but with what we've been getting, the content with Star Wars now, I would be excited if more happens. Again, I'm already getting this teaser trailer. Yeah. Like, wow, Obi-Wan is
okay. So
a BA.
I'm actually reading a quote right now, and this is what Ewan McGregor said. I think it's no secret that Hayden Christensen comes back, and we got to play scenes together again as Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin Skywalker, and it was fantastic to work with him again. So, if we read that for exactly what it is, he may be having flashback scenes of him and Anakin working together or some of their additional elements of their fight on Mustafar that they redo. It may not be Obi-Wan and the Vader that we've seen. It could be Anakin. And that I'd be completely okay with.
We're going to have to dissect this. I'm very excited. This could be the most controversial Star Wars show we've had so far. We'll just have to wait until May 25th when this drops. And then we'll be reviewing it all over again.
I know we will. Can't wait.
So much fun. What a weird outro bumper music. But, Micah, we'd expect nothing less. Stay tuned for more conversation here on The Nerd Show, 103.1 1310 KFKA. To the Nerd Show, we're going to dive in a bit to Picard. I'm slowing down my speaking because I really like the music so far.
It's good.
Is that the intro music or just a snippet from an episode?
I feel like the intro music from season two is a little different. I never compared the two side by side, but it kind of has a different feel.
I think it does. I think it's a little darker.
The ending music is a little darker.
Oh,
this season's way dark.
It is.
Started off darker. It ends, episode two ends darker, episode one ends darker, episode two starts darker.
Yeah.
You're saying like the same episode numbers, this starts darker, ends darker, this
one
ends darker.
It basically is.
Yeah. So
everything's darker.
Well, so you get the end of the first season and you get this hint of Q, who is this, you know, kind of the spiritual being that has the ability to manipulate space-time and everything else. And Picard has run into him before when he was kind of testing humanity.
Not just him. He's a part of a continuum.
Yeah. And I have my buddy Jason to thank for that because he kind of gave me all the insight about who Q was and some of that. I mean, literally the very first episode of season two, they're on the bridge, you know, they're on a ship. And we find out later it's the Stargazer.
And the refit Stargazer.
Yes, yes. And they're running through. People are getting shot left and right. There's a Borg queen that's on the ship. And Picard executes a self-destruct sequence command to the ship. And it blows up. And you're like, what? And that's literally how season two starts. And then it does the 3 days earlier. You know, and now you're kind of going through it and you see Picard on his vineyard and life is good. And
does it feel Star Trek-y?
It feels different from, you know, the Next Generation, but it has more of last year's feel.
Yeah.
It has my favorite villain of all time, the Borg in it.
Star Trek or
in everything.
Huh.
But so far it they haven't shown a lot of the Borg. They've just shown the Borg Queen.
In a couple different facets, which was interesting when she beams aboard the Stargazer.
She's not the regular Borg queen. She's something way different.
Yeah, something way different. And then you see the Borg queen later.
And she's a different Borg queen.
Yeah.
More like the regular Borg queen.
Yeah.
Is this that whole messing with time and space?
It is.
That's exactly what's going on.
Yeah. Which,
is it easy to follow, though? Or are you confused?
Yeah, so if you did not watch episode season one, you'd still be able to follow it. You may have to go to Memory Alpha, which is Star Trek canon explanation.
Like Wikipedia?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's basically it. You may have a few questions, but you're going to follow it pretty well. You'll notice, you'll wonder, like, why is this guy talking about a relationship that broke up? Why is she angry at him all the time? You know, what's the special? You won't get the relationships.
Kind of sends me back to high school.
Yeah,
a little bit.
But, it is kind of high schoolish.
Yeah. Mike and I
never liked the love relationships.
Yeah, we were trading text message about the fact that this is a show that the big fans, you know, the super Trekkie fans, are going to appreciate and enjoy. But it's also built for people who are casual fans or don't have a lot of introduction to it. So, you know, to answer your question, yeah, you could jump in on season two, episode one, and it would be action packed and you'd be like, wait, what's happening? And then you'd be able to kind of pick up on where we're going. And, you know, there's a little bit of monologuing that happens, especially with Picard, but that's kind of his shtick anyways.
But how could you not want some Patrick Stewart monologues?
And so you're getting the answers to what the heck's going on in it, but it's been interesting.
So does this take place after, you know, his feature, or is this, I'm thinking in the 90s or whenever he was in Next Generation, right?
Yeah, so in Next Generation, he's probably about 50 years old or something. I don't know exactly what his age is. This, he's, I think, in his 90s.
Yeah, they said he's close to 100 years old at this point in time. He's almost lived a century.
He looks like he hasn't aged at all, though.
Right. Well, he's got a new body now because he...
Oh, the yeah, but I just also mean as Patrick Stewart himself. Did they do that in real life and they're just playing it off in Star Trek?
I don't know, but I mean, he looks it, but it's, you know, it's kind of one of those elements that, you know, when they do this kind of crafty little things are going bad...
Why him, though? Why not Kirk? Why not?
Well, Q has always been... This story is going to feature what Q has done.
Mm-hmm.
So Q has always had this fascination with Picard. In the final two episodes of The Next Generation, it was a two-parter, he put forth kind of this challenge to Picard to save humanity. He's basically like, humans are being judged. Are you guys worthy? And it was basically, go.
Yeah.
And now this is kind of a follow-up to that. He says to Picard, what exactly was the line?
He said, you know, consider this penance.
Yeah. Mm. But here's the thing. He's not talking like he normally does.
Right.
And Picard realizes that there's something wrong with Q.
Yeah.
So we don't know exactly what is going on because we don't know much about the Q continuum. There's, you know, the stuff that we saw in The Next Generation, the BS we saw on DS9, the bigger BS we saw in Voyager. Some of the Voyager stuff is just
now.
Garbage.
Help me understand the Star Trek universe because I'm not a Trekkie. They're all in the same universe. Voyager,
go to Memory Alpha,
Deep Space Nine.
Mm-hmm.
They're all in the same universe.
They're
just
in the same
different areas, regions,
different parts of the galaxy, different storylines,
mm-hmm.
and those storylines had to do with what's going on during in society. So Deep Space Nine was kind of more about a war to save the galaxy, and you know it introduced kind of an evil part of the Federation. Which
we get in the recent reboot of the movies. I'm just thinking of that rogue admiral who went crazy.
Well, I mean,
he was a part of Section 31.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you do get that. But what's been interesting about the show so far is that you have these characters that you know. Some of them you know really well. Some of them you've just met from Picard, and you know, you kind of know who they are and who they're supposed to be. And I think, you know, the one for me that stuck out that I enjoyed in the first season was Seven of Nine, Jerry Ryan's character, you know, that she had the Borg implants, but she, you know, was a part of Starfleet and everything else. Well,
and she comes from Voyager, by the way. But her connection with Picard is they were both assimilated
by
the Borg.
Hmm. And then they were able to extricate themselves in some capacity. And Seven always had, you know, Borg elements within her. And so she was ostracized. She was different. And it kind of filled into some of the stories that Star Trek's always done.
She was a Borg since the age of seven.
Yeah.
I think it was the age of seven, but her designation was seven of nine.
Okay,
she's received a lot of bigotry,
yes.
And she still does because people are, you know, hunting her for Borg parts, which are very valuable.
They're calling her names. So, like in the first episode, they're calling her names because, you know, she's a freak and everything else, and so they escape. Well, then this moment happens where Q comes in and kind of snaps his fingers and tells Picard, you know, this is going to be your penance, and this is, you're going to have to walk the path not chosen. And so it's literally like this, he's flipping the script and going, okay, we're going to go back to a certain point in time and we're going to change something. So it's that whole butterfly effect mindset, but I'm going to just put you in that new timeline as right now.
Which is something he kind of always does. Yeah. He's never changed time before, so this is kind of interesting what's going on, but he's always giving Picard some kind of challenge and saying, okay, go
through.
And so this is really interesting because now we have the Borg, who is the Federation and the galaxy's biggest enemy, and they realize that the timeline has been broken.
Yeah.
And
the
now
Borg
Picard
do.
Realizes
the Borg do. Yeah.
That the timeline has been broken because he is met with Q. And they're both teaming up to fix the issue that is going on. So
there's
a lot
of timeline stuff going. I mean, you get it in Star Trek, and now, you know, we've had it in Marvel this past year. Is that the new fad? We had zombies, 10 years ago,
maybe.
And now we're in this time split type of thing?
Dear Paramount, Star Trek fans do not like that, so please do not freaking botch this.
You heard it from Micah. We'll be back with more about Picard after this break. Stay tuned.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Yep. This is going to be a spoiler alert segment for Picard on The Nerd Show, 103.1 and 1310 KFK. Just wanted to let everybody know well ahead of time.
Are you going to play it again just like that? I was almost flocking out of the studio.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Usually I stop it before it goes, but I just wanted to keep playing that.
Just
that is
it, yeah.
From Star Trek The Next Generation.
The spoiler alert?
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's a red alert thing.
The red alert thing, yeah. So we were talking a little bit about 7 and 9 before the break and things like that. Well, one of the things that happens in this alternate timeline, because again, something changes, is that Picard now wakes up and he's on his estate, but it's different.
His uniform is different.
His uniform's different. Everything about him is different. And now we find out that he's a horrible human being.
He's flat out evil.
He's evil, yeah.
He's gone through the galaxy, and he is conquered. So they bring up people like Gul Dukat, who comes from Deep Space Nine.
He's got a skull mounted in his trophy room.
He's partially responsible for the death of Gul Dukat, for the destruction of the Klingon homeworld, for conquering and the enslaving of Romulans.
So they literally have gone from Picard being this, you know, great peacemaker to now he is literally obliterating every other species that has been found in space, and is basically pushing this only humans, and humans are the best, you know, from a galaxy perspective. And he's this admiral that is well loved and revered by quite a few people within, you know, the Federation, which is now called the Confederation.
So this is a little bit of repeat from 1939 into the Second World War, huh?
Kind of. And then the one that got me was, again, you have 7 of 9, and she wakes up. And I thought they almost played it too much visually, because she wakes up and they don't show the left side of her face, which is where her Borg implants are visible. And she's looking in the mirror and she's looking at the clock and all these different things. Can't figure out where she is. She's completely confused. And they take this long, long lead in. And then all of a sudden, this short guy comes walking in and says, you know, my dear, are you ready for, you know, your speech or whatever else? And then they show her face and she has no Borg implant. And then you come to find out that she is now the president of the Confederation.
Yeah, she's the president. And she's married.
And she's married.
Yeah.
Which kind of messes
with. Speaking of that, so the actor is the real life father of the android, whatever her name is, in the last season.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. It's kind of cool.
That is kind of cool.
Hmm. And he did a great job.
Yeah. And so you see this, and so there's, you know, there's five or six people that all get dropped into this new reality or this new timeline. And so the doctor's back, but the captain that is the captain of the Stargazer in this new timeline, or the one that we saw. And then so most of the people that were on in the original ship at the end of season one are all a part of this, that have all been blipped and moved into this new timeline. And so they're all having to try and figure it out. But it comes down to that there's an anomaly and something happened in the timeline in 2024 in Los Angeles, or was it San Francisco?
I think it's Los Angeles.
I think it's Los Angeles, that a decision was made that changed the timeline completely. So because of that one decision in 2024, this is now where they're at as opposed to where they were in their old reality timeline. And the Borg Queen is the one that figures that out, because apparently there's multiple timelines. So there's multiple Borg Queens and they have an ability to
kind
understand space time. Yeah.
They can't read each other's minds, but they have some kind of strange idea, because they have like they can go back in time. In one of the movies, they actually assimilated Earth back in time before Enterprise E came back and stopped it. Excellent music that I think we played on the Nerd Show before.
Yeah.
This is like Star Trek meets Loki.
It is a little bit. And what's interesting for me is that so they have to get the Borg Queen to help them fix the timeline. And so she's the only one that can help them travel back in time, and that's what they've determined they need to do. And if you recall, you know, in the reboots of the Star Treks, when they were doing those, we saw that moment where Spock, you know, he jumps time and he goes into the past, and you see the, you know, young Spock meet old Spock and some of those elements. And so it's already been introduced, and I think at that point in time they were using the red matter, but apparently the Borg Queen can do it if I think they have to orbit a pulsar star at a certain speed or whatever else, and I'm probably going to get barbecued so that you know, because I don't know all the intimate details of that. But
just say Star Trek 4.
Star Trek 4. And but now we're dealing with this Borg Queen that is agreeing to help them because they don't like where the current timeline that they're now stuck in is either, because Picard has obliterated everyone, including
the Borg Queen.
Yeah. And the Borg Queen is literally a prisoner that they're going to execute on Eradication Day, which is what they call it in, you know, in the Confederacy. Now they're going to execute, you know, war criminals that they've determined because they're not human. So, and they're expecting Picard to do it. So he's out there, you know, working up the crowd, and he's trying to play this little element so that they can escape.
And he's stalling.
Yeah, he's stalling.
He's not going to actually execute her because they've determined at that point they need her. And at some point, the crowd realizes what's going on. Why isn't he killing her? And they start booing. Love the guy. They're yelling, Picard, 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 Picard the entire time. Like, it's crazy. Like, it just feels weird to see a guy that you, a character that you admire so much, just being worshipped.
And just a ruthless son of a nutcracker.
And this is a lot like the Mirror Universe, but I thought they were going to make it the Mirror Universe, but it's not actually the Mirror Universe. What it is was, as we were saying, it's something was changed in the past, and now the past has to be fixed.
They got to fix that, whatever that decision was.
Was it like a decision about lunch instead of a salad and a soup?
It could be. They haven't alluded to anything.
I have an inkling what kind of decision in the past it is. I have a feeling it might be something very, very political, which Star Trek should be political.
Yep. Probably
but I'm afraid it might be one of those bad writing, way too political. It is supposed to mean this: we are right and you are wrong, and which is not a Star Trek way to say things. Star Trek is supposed to teach, not preach.
Well,
I'm afraid it's going to be like that, one of those preachy.
Could be, although it could also be one of those elements where, they're starting to define what Starfleet's going to be, and maybe you play on the Star Force thing that we're starting to see in the current, universe, and they decide that Space Force, and they're going to, instead of being peaceful and to go out and seek out new life, they're going to go out to defend Earth, and they're going to go out in a defensive posture, as opposed to be a peaceful greet posture and hi, how are you doing? It's going to be one of those, get off my lawn, and we are the superior species in the universe sort of thing. And I have a feeling that's where that's going to go.
And, well, at some point, humans did have World War III in the Star Trek universe. So
well,
I don't.
We're already pretty close to it right now.
I'm just wondering what it's going to be. I hope that my cynicism is unfounded. I'm just hoping that. And these writers, I think, are better than the writers, at least the writing from the first season of Discovery. I think they've done an amazing job of not being too, my side is better than your side, which is something that Star Trek used to never do.
Right.
I
think they're adapting to times that we've been seeing the last.
Yes, very much so.
And Star Trek has always been able to speak to everybody.
Yep.
No matter what your political beliefs are, speak to everybody. And that's what Star Trek needs to do.
Well, more people need to watch Star Trek, including myself.
Yes, you.
Starting with Picard. I will do better.
And my password is not, because I won't share it.
You won't.
Not available.
We'll be back next week with an all-new Nerd Show here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Thank you for listening. Y'all, stay nerdy.